Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're taking a closer look at the fascinating world of Bible translation.
Yeah, fascinating is a good word for it.
I think so. We often think of translation as a straightforward process of finding equivalent words in different languages. But
right.
When it comes to the Bible, there's so much more to it than just swapping words around.
Absolutely. And to help us unpack this intricate process, we're drawing on insights from a lecture by Dr. George Payton, a true expert in the field of Bible translation.
He really gets into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to make this ancient text come alive for readers across languages and cultures.
And one of the first things Dr. Payton points out is that language itself is inherently cryptic, so to speak.
Cryptic.
Well, what I mean is we rely so heavily on shared context and cultural understanding to make sense of even the simplest phrases.
I see what you mean. So much of what we say relies on unspoken assumptions and shared knowledge.
Exactly. And that's fine when everyone's on the same page, but it poses a huge challenge when you're dealing with a text written thousands of years ago for a vastly different audience.
Right, like trying to explain a joke that relies on specific cultural references to someone who's never encountered those references, it just falls flat.
It's like that. You can translate the words, but the meaning and impact are lost if you don't bridge those cultural gaps.
So even a word-for-word translation might not accurately convey the intended meaning.
That's right. And Dr. Payton brings up this really interesting example. Think of the phrase, the skin of my teeth.
Yeah, we use that all the time to mean barely or by a narrow margin.
Exactly. But now imagine trying to translate that literally into another language.
Someone might end up picturing actual skin hanging from teeth.
And that's where the whole idea of dynamic equivalence comes into play.
Dynamic equivalence.
It's about capturing the intended meaning and impact of the original text, even if it means deviating slightly from a strictly literal translation.
So it's more about conveying the essence of the message rather than getting hung up on a word-for-word approach.
Precisely. And this is where things get really interesting because you have to strike a balance between accuracy and clarity. You know?
Right, because you don't want to lose the essence of the original message in the process of making it understandable.
And Dr. Payton shares this fascinating case from Tanzania, where a Bible translation, while technically accurate, was so focused on literal word choices that it ended up sounding completely unnatural to the local population.
Oh, I see. The translation might have been correct on a word-for-word level, but it failed to connect with the people it was intended for.
And guess what? People just didn't engage with it. It just didn't resonate with them.
So even with the best intentions, you can miss the mark if you don't consider the cultural context.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that translation isn't just about finding equivalent words. It's about understanding how people communicate and express themselves within a specific culture.
It's about bridging the gap between the ancient world and the modern reader.
Yeah, and one of the key tools for doing that is something called paratext.
Paratext, that's a new one.
Think of it as all the extra information that helps readers understand the text without altering the original wording.
Okay, so like supplementary materials that provide context and background information.
Exactly, like footnotes, for example. They can be used to explain difficult terms or phrases that might not be familiar to modern readers.
Like explaining what sackcloth and ashes symbolized in ancient times.
Right. Without that cultural context, modern readers might miss the depth of emotion and repentance being conveyed.
It's like having a little cultural translator embedded right there in the text.
Exactly. Footnotes, glossaries, you know, they're like little guides that help illuminate the meaning behind the words.
So those little notes and explanations can make a big difference.
A huge difference. They provide that crucial bridge between the ancient world and our modern understanding.
What other kinds of paratextual tools are there?
Well, you have glossaries, which are great for defining key terms and concepts in more detail.
So you might come across a word like justification in the Bible, and a glossary would provide a concise explanation of its theological significance.
Right. It helps readers grasp the deeper meaning behind these important concepts.
It's like having a mini encyclopedia right there in the text.
I like that analogy. And then you have book introductions, which offer crucial background information and context for each book.
That makes sense because diving into a book like Micah without knowing anything about the historical setting or the prophet's message could be really confusing.
Absolutely. An introduction can set the stage and help readers understand the book's purpose and significance within the broader context of the Bible.
It's like getting a sneak peek behind the curtain before the play begins.
And then you have things like cross-references, which connect related passages for a richer understanding.
Ah, so if you're reading about a prophecy in one book, a cross-reference might point you to its fulfillment in another book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It helps readers see the interconnectedness of Scripture and how different parts of the Bible relate to each other.
It's like a treasure hunt, connecting the dots and uncovering hidden connections.
And finally, there are section headings, which break up the text and guide the reader through its flow.
I can see how all these paratextual tools work together to create a smoother and more meaningful reading experience.
They really do. And what's fascinating is that even experienced translators can benefit from these tools.
You mean even people who have dedicated their lives to studying the Bible can still learn something new?
Absolutely. Dr. Payton shares this great story about a team translating the book of Micah. These were seasoned scholars, but they initially missed some vital contextual clues.
I see. They might have known the language inside and out, but they needed more than just linguistic knowledge to fully grasp the intended meaning.
Exactly. And it was only after digging deeper into the historical and cultural background, with the help of those paratextual resources, that they were able to unlock the full meaning of the text.
It's a great reminder that there's always more to learn and discover, even when you think you're an expert.
That's so true. And it makes you realize that sometimes even the most careful translation and all those helpful paratextual tools, they might not be enough.
You're getting at something really important there. Sometimes we need more than just words on a page to really connect with the message of the Bible.
It's like, how do we move beyond just understanding the text to actually engaging with it on a deeper level?
Exactly. And that's where what we call scripture engagement materials come in.
Okay, now you've got my attention. What are we talking about here? Spill the beans.
Think about how powerful stories are. They draw you in. They make you feel things. They teach you things.
It's true.
So one great example is Bible storybooks for children. They retell those epic narratives in a way that captures a child's imagination.
Yeah. The illustrations, the simpler language, it makes the stories come alive.
And for people who really connect with music, there's this incredible tradition of songs and hymns inspired by the Bible. Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about hymns like Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art. They've been sung for centuries, and they still have the power to move people today.
Right. And Dr. Payton even points out that Charles Wesley, the guy who wrote tons of hymns, he actually believed that his songs would have a more lasting impact than his brother John's sermons.
Interesting. So he saw music as a way to reach people's hearts in a way that words alone sometimes can't.
And you know what? History kind of proves him right. Those hymns are still sung and loved today. But it's not just music, right?
Who else?
You have audio recordings and podcasts even that bring the Bible to life through dramatic readings or engaging discussions.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to audio versions of the Bible before, and it's amazing. It's like having a personal storyteller guiding you through the text.
And then there's videos, dramas, even dance performances that visually depict these ancient stories.
Wow. I haven't actually seen any dance performances of Bible stories, but I can imagine how powerful that could be, especially for people who are more visually oriented.
Right. Dr. Payton even mentions the use of artwork. Think about stained glass windows in churches or paintings, sculptures. For centuries, art played a huge role in communicating these stories, especially before everyone could read.
It's like weaving together art and faith to create this beautiful tapestry of meaning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we're not limited to those traditional forms anymore. You have digital tools, interactive maps, timelines, virtual tours of biblical locations.
That sounds amazing. I can see how those tools could help people really immerse themselves in the world of the Bible, understand the historical and geographical context.
It adds a whole new dimension to the experience. And speaking of technology, there are apps that offer audio versions of the Bible, even ones that highlight the words as they're being read aloud.
Those are great for people who are visually impaired or who just prefer to learn by listening.
It's really amazing how technology can make the Bible more accessible to everyone.
It really is. It's inspiring to see how creative people have been in finding ways to engage with the Bible beyond just reading it on the page.
It speaks to the power of those stories, those teachings.
But with so many different approaches, how do you know it will work best for a particular audience? It seems overwhelming.
That's where understanding your audience comes in. Dr. Payton emphasizes the importance of intentionality.
So there's no one-size-fits-all approach?
Nope. It's about tailoring the approach to the specific needs and cultural context of the people you want to reach.
Like, you wouldn't use the same method to engage a group of children as you would with a group of adults, right?
Exactly. He actually shares a story about a translation team working in Asia who realized that their traditional methods weren't really clicking with the local population.
What did they do?
So they got creative and decided to create a song in the local musical style, that told the story of Jesus.
Wow, that's a brilliant idea, using music to bridge the cultural gap.
And it worked. The song sparked curiosity. People started asking questions, wanting to know more. It opened up this whole new way to connect with the message.
It shows how thinking outside the box can lead to such powerful results.
And it underscores the fact that we need to understand how people learn,
yep.
how they engage, and then meet them where they are.
This is so much more than just translating words, isn't it?
It really is. It's about building bridges, creating connections, and ultimately helping people experience the message in a way that speaks to their hearts.
It's about conveying the essence of the message, the heart and soul of the text, not just the literal words.
You got it.
Yep.
And that's what makes this work so exciting, so vital.
Yeah, it really seems like there's this delicate balance between honoring the original text and making it accessible to a modern audience.
Absolutely. And it requires this really deep understanding of, you know, both the source language and the target culture.
I bet it takes a lot of collaboration, too.
Oh, for sure. It's rarely a solo effort.
Yeah.
You know, translators often work closely with linguists, theologians, even cultural experts.
Sometimes maybe even artists and musicians.
Absolutely. It yeah. really takes a village to make sure that the message is communicated effectively. And when all those perspectives come together,
mm-hmm.
that's when you get something really special. When people encounter the Bible in a way that speaks to their hearts, you know, that resonates with their own cultural understanding,
yeah.
it can have a really profound impact.
It's more than just the words themselves. It's about how those words connect to people's lives.
Exactly. And that's what Dr. Payton really drives home, this idea that engaging with Scripture can't be an afterthought.
It needs to be built into the process from the very beginning.
Exactly. You have to think about how people will actually use and engage with the translated text, how it will be relevant to their lives.
So it's not enough to just translate the words. You have to translate the meaning in a way that truly connects.
And that's what I find so inspiring about this work. It's about making God's love and grace accessible to everybody.
No matter what language they speak, what background they come from.
It's about breaking down barriers and building bridges of understanding through the power of this ancient text.
It's a beautiful reminder that the Bible, it transcends time and culture. It offers this timeless message of hope.
It really does. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with this sense of awe, you know, thinking about all the people who are working so hard to bring the Bible to life for new audiences.
Me too. It's been such an eye-opening journey exploring the complexities of translation, the power of those paratextual tools, and all the creative ways that people are making the Bible accessible to different communities.
And you know what? We've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, there's a whole universe of knowledge out there for anyone who wants to explore further. But for now, as we wrap up, I'm curious what our listeners are thinking. What other innovative approaches are out there? What other creative ways can we imagine to make the Bible's message resonate in today's world?
That's a great question to leave our listeners with. It's an invitation to think outside the box, to be creative, to find new ways to share these timeless stories and teachings.
Absolutely. There's so much potential for exploration and discovery, and who knows what amazing insights are waiting to be uncovered. So to all our listeners out there, keep exploring, keep digging, and most importantly, keep the conversation going.